Maxine Waters, the radical Democrats, by electing Cindy.
President Trump at a Make America Great Again rally in Biloxi, Mississippi, at the Mississippi Coast Coliseum, as he campaigns for the Republican Senate candidate there, Cindy Hyde-Smith, who is in a runoff election with Democrat Mike Espy.
And you see people coming up by the thousands, and frankly, if we didn't show them strength at a strong border, and nobody's shown a stronger border, if we didn't do that, you would have hundreds of thousands of people pouring into our country.
Polls close in that runoff at 7 o'clock local time. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Everyone loves liberty, so why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty Health Share. Liberty Health Share is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Stop letting others tell you what to do. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information, or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
A recent study came out and said that your first impression when going on a job interview is key to ultimately you getting that second interview or possibly even being offered the position. Ken Coleman is host of the Entree Leadership Podcast and an employment expert. He joins Fox News and talks about some of the questions you should expect when you go for that job interview.
Well, you're going to get questions about why do you want the job? Many people aren't even prepared for this. You know, a lot of hiring managers want to see, are you enthusiastic and passionate about this particular place to work? So you got to be prepared for that, why you want this job.
Coleman also says if you're going for that job interview, you want to make sure it's a right fit for you and the company.
You'll be shocked at how many hiring managers say that people come in and don't know much about the company. And this is important for two reasons. One, you need to make sure it's a good fit for you.
Sure.
And two, you want to show that hiring manager that you've done your homework.
And your body language is key as well.
We know that interviews are very nerve-wracking. There's a lot of anxiety here. This is pressure-filled. Smile, shake your head, look them in the eye. Look as comfortable as possible.
Coleman also noted you should be able and ready to explain any employment gaps on your resume, and that still, when following up, an old-fashioned handwritten letter goes a long way these days. And finally, if you were one of those shoppers on Cyber Monday, online sales hit an all-time record high with $7.9 billion being spent online. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent. If you are a spouse or a USAA member, you can get a reward of between $350 and $6,000 when you buy or sell your next home. This also applies to the children and grandchildren of current USAA members. Call Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker to learn more. He can be reached at 908-238-0118. That's 908-238-0118.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah, it's Thanksgiving weekend. There is much to be thankful for in our great nation. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you for joining us. Joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is co-host Air Force vet Josh Lang. What's going on, Josh?
Gentlemen, as you know, I usually use this portion of the show to make some pithy comedic remark to start the show off on a lighthearted note. But this is the time of the year set aside to salute the invaders and the invadeds. Yes, the pilgrims and Native Americans, and their ability to sit down and share food with one another. Okay, so that's not all of it. It's also a time when we give thanks for our blessings in life. And the one major blessing that is a part of this show's very name is due to those who have served to defend our freedom. And the reality is, not all who serve make it home safely. This is why I ask you to do the following. First, remember our fallen U.S. veterans and honor those who serve. And teach your children the value of freedom. Remember, Honor, and Teach is carried out by the Wreaths Across America group that coordinates wreath-laying ceremonies at Arlington National Cemetery, as well as at more than 1,400 additional locations in all 50 U.S. states, at sea and abroad. Join me by sponsoring a veteran's wreath at a cemetery near you, by volunteering or donating to a local fundraising group. Simply visit wreathsacrossamerica.org. Go there and share it with your friends and family by texting, email, and social media. That's wreathsacrossamerica.org.
Hey, thank you for doing that. And we'll hear from Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby when he shares some warrant wisdom. And Marine Vet Skip Coriel, who's here, and he seems full of turkey. Not usually what I say about Marines. What's up, Skip?
Well, at least you didn't call me a turkey, so that's good. Actually, that reminds me of a couple weeks ago. My seven-year-old daughter and I, we were in the back 20, and we were trying to get a turkey for Thanksgiving, and we come across five turkeys, and she had a gun, a .22 rifle, and she's trying to sneak up on these five turkeys, and it's not easy to sneak up on five turkeys.
Probably not easy to sneak up on one.
But we had fun, though.
That's key. Here's what we have for you today. A news and comment by the Colonel, I'm going to suggest that we should all be very thankful to God on this Thanksgiving weekend. Then retired Marine General Arnold Pinero will return to discuss threats to our nation and the impact of the recent election on national defense. Then Marine Vet Brad Stinson will share some insights on wisely using a VA mortgage. Next, we'll review the movie of the month with Diane Raver, and we'll review last weekend's Service Academy football games.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter and join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
Troops, listen up. We have started a new program. Our goal is on each show to honor a deceased military person, not the superstars, but the average soldier, sailor, marine, airman, or coastie. They don't have to have served in combat, but they have to have served honorably, active duty, guard, or reserves. To nominate them, send me about 250 words summarizing his or her service. I'll read that on the show. Send a picture, and I'll include it in our e-newsletter. Send the information to me, Denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. We welcome your input to the show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or on Facebook. Now it's time for news and comment by the Colonel on Front Lines of Freedom. First, the news. What's first, Josh?
While we were celebrating Veterans Day weekend, for 2 days, the Palestinian terrorist groups Hamas and the Islamic Palestinian Jihad coordinated to launch more than 300 rockets and other projectiles at Israeli civilians. Israeli media reported at least 11 civilians were wounded. So how did the major U.S. media networks do in covering the conflict that pushed the parties to the brink of war? Monday evening was the first opportunity for the networks to report on the attacks. At that time, ABC World News Tonight was the only one to rise to the occasion. But come Tuesday, none of ABC's news programs, morning or evening, covered the attacks. NBC continued their complete blackout, while CBS's morning and evening news shows finally found time to mention the attacks. Attacks on one of our nation's closest allies.
I'm not sure why so much of the world and all of America's mainstream media hate Israel and sees the Islamist terrorists as good guys. But our nation seems to absolutely stand by Israel because, I guess, they share our values and they stand by us. It's beyond me why anyone can be pro-terrorist.
A retired four-star general is President Trump's pick to be the U.S. ambassador to Saudi Arabia, filling a key diplomatic vacancy at a time when U.S.-Saudi relations are being tested by the slaying of a journalist critical of the Saudi royal family. Trump is nominating John Abizaid, the longest-serving commander of U.S. Central Command, to lead our embassy in Riyadh. It's a post that has been empty since January of 2017. If confirmed by the Senate, Abizaid would become ambassador, as the Trump administration is weighing the U.S.'s response to the killing of Washington Post contributor Jamal Khashoggi at the Saudi consulate in Istanbul, Turkey. Turkish officials claim Khashoggi was killed by a 15-member assassination squad sent from Riyadh on orders from the highest levels of the Saudi government, and our own CIA agrees with that assessment. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has revoked the visas of the Saudis implicated in the killing. SecDef Mattis has said additional measures will also be taken. Abizaid, who retired in 2007, served in wars in Grenada, the Persian Gulf, Bosnia, Kosovo, Afghanistan, and Iraq. Following the war in Iraq, Abizaid assumed control of CENTCOM, which oversees military operations in 20 nations, stretching from Northeast Africa to the Middle East to Central and South Asia.
This is a very important position, and we must decide how we are going to interact with Saudi Arabia. Saudi's always been an absolute dictatorship. It has worked with us in some areas in the Mideast. At the same time, its national religion is Wahhabi sect Islam, among the most radical and terrorist sects, which has promoted radical Islam around the world, including in the United States. And the new Saudi ruler seems like he's going to reduce the power of the Wahhabis, which will make the region, indeed the world, a bit safer. And the Saudis do work well with our military. General Abizaid is a good choice for the position.
In a follow-up report on the first-ever full audit of the Department of Defense, which we delved into on last week's program, little was found in the way of savings that could offset potential budget cuts next year, according to Pentagon and congressional officials. Without going into detail, Defense Secretary Mattis, in a statement about the report, said the audit identified multiple material weaknesses across the department, but also provided invaluable information that will help us target and prioritize corrective actions. David Norquist, the Pentagon's comptroller and prime mover behind the audit, said no glaring instances of fraud were found, but the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Special Ops, and the Transportation Command all received failing grades. Norquist said, quote, "We didn't pass. That's the blunt and bottom line. We have issues, and we're going to fix them," end quote. He said this was to be expected in a first-time audit. Norquist went on to say, "If you're not fixing it, the auditors will come back in exactly a year and find you didn't fix it. And they're going to come the next year, and the next year, until you fix it. So each year, I'll be able to tell you how many findings we closed." General Mattis said one of the material weaknesses was in the area of cybersecurity throughout the department. Norquist stated, "Our single largest number of findings is IT security, and it reflects the challenges that the department faces in IT security." SecDef Mattis has been pushing DoD managers to find efficiencies and savings on contracts and operations, to fund improvements in the lethality and readiness of the force, and also to guard against potential budget cuts in the new Congress.
Given that this is the very first audit of the Pentagon since it was founded, it's no surprise that everyone's failed. Now the leaders have both a list of shortcomings and the knowledge that they'll be looked at again next year, and things better be better. My hat's off to our President and Secretary of Defense for this major and necessary effort. And that's news for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll discuss the impact of the recent election on our nation's defense. At ease, troops, take a break. Spartan Nash is a leading distributor of grocery products to U.S. commissaries around the world. Our MDV division exists to serve our military heroes and their families, both at home and abroad.
At Spartan Nash, we see firsthand the sacrifices made to protect our freedoms, and it is our privilege to serve those who served at our more than 135 company-owned grocery stores and independent retail locations throughout the country.
Learn more at SpartanNash.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coria with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. Every year, we hear of new biological threats ranging from mutated flu viruses to full-blown worldwide pandemic. Always keep a 3-month supply of food, fresh water, and medical supplies inside your home. The only reliable defense against pandemic is to avoid human contact by staying inside your home until the threat is passed. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit HomeDefenseShow.com.
And not to mention the shedding, I would vacuum the carpet 3 times a week. Frodo was scratching all night long, bouncing on the side of the bed, keeping me awake the whole entire night from all the scratching and chewing. It kind of makes you neurotic.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy?
Mounds and mounds of fur all over the place.
Come to Dinovite for help.
DINOVITE.com.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
Dinovite is nutrition.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
Our vitamins and enzymes replace the nutrients cooked out of most commercial dog foods.
He gobbles it up. He's not up all night scratching. His shedding is minimal, and it is such a pleasure to have my calm, relaxed, non-shedding puppy back. And I have to thank Dinovite for that.
Don't let your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy.
Come to Dinovite for help.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. A Front Lines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors, honor, and remember, our nation must never forget those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. This is the mission of Honor and Remember, a nonprofit based in Virginia, with support from their national sponsor, Spartan Nash, the leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and fifth largest food distributor. Learn more about how you continue the mission at honorandremember.org. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. This is Thanksgiving weekend, and there's a great deal we Americans have to be thankful for. We live in the greatest, freest, most wealthy, and most powerful nation in the world. Now, it's far from perfect, but it's the best place in the world to live. Now some history. Thanksgiving Day is one of our national holidays. In 1621, the Plymouth colonists and Wampanoag Indians shared an autumn harvest feast that is acknowledged today as one of the first Thanksgiving celebrations of the colonies. For more than two centuries, days of Thanksgiving were celebrated by individual colonies and states. But it wasn't until 1863, in the midst of the Civil War, that President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed a National Thanksgiving Day to be held each November. In September of 1620, a small ship called the Mayflower left Plymouth, England, carrying 102 passengers, an assortment of religious separatists seeking a new home where they could freely practice their religion, and other individuals lured by the promise of prosperity and land ownership in the New World. After a treacherous and uncomfortable crossing that lasted 66 days, they dropped anchor near the tip of Cape Cod, far north of their intended destination at the mouth of the Hudson River. 1 month later, the Mayflower crossed Massachusetts Bay, where the Pilgrims, as they are now commonly known, began the work of establishing a village at Plymouth. Throughout the first brutal winter, most of the colonists remained aboard the ship, where they suffered from exposure, scurvy, and outbreaks of contagious disease. Only half of the Mayflower's original passengers and crew lived to see their first New England spring. In March, the remaining settlers moved ashore, where they received an astonishing visit from an Abenaki Indian who greeted them in English. Several days later, he returned with another Native American, Squanto, a member of the Pawtuxet, who had been kidnapped by an English sea captain, sold into slavery before escaping to London and returning to his homeland on an extraordinary expedition. Squanto taught the Pilgrims, weakened by malnutrition and illness, how to cultivate corn, extract sap from maple trees, catch fish in the rivers, and avoid poisonous plants. He also helped the settlers forge an alliance with the Wampanoag, a local tribe which would endure for over 50 years and, tragically, remains one of the few examples of harmony between European colonists and Native Americans. In November of 1621, after the Pilgrims' first corn harvest proved successful, Governor William Bradford organized a celebratory feast and invited a group of fledging colonies' Native American allies, including Wampanoag chief Massasoit. Now remembered as America's first Thanksgiving, although the Pilgrims themselves may not have used the term at the time, the festival lasted for 3 days. While there's no record of the historic banquet's exact menu, Pilgrim chronicler Edward Winslow wrote in his journal that Governor Bradford sent 4 men on a fowling mission in preparation for the event, and the Wampanoag guests arrived bearing 5 deer. Historians have suggested that many of the dishes were likely prepared using traditional Native American spices and cooking methods. Because the Pilgrims had no oven and the Mayflower's sugar supply had dwindled by the fall of 1621, the meal did not include pies, cakes, or other desserts, which have become a hallmark of contemporary celebrations. And, by the way, who were the Pilgrims thankful to? I know this isn't politically correct, but they were thankful to God, as was President Lincoln and as all of us should be today. Our nation was God-centered from the very first. Look at our Declaration of Independence. It says that we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And the day our First Amendment became a part of our Constitution, and by the way, that amendment begins, Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, and that's all it says about religion. Well, the day that amendment became law, 12 of the 13 states had state religions. There is overwhelming evidence that our nation was founded to be a nation under God. On Veterans Day, I spoke at a local high school. Their school band and choir presented the Battle Hymn of the Republic. That's the song that, during the Civil War, the Northern soldiers went to war singing. Some of the words are, "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." And in the third verse, "For he died to make men holy, let us live to make them free. Our God is marching on." Let me encourage you to play that song at your home a lot of times. I trust that each of you was, as I was, grateful to God this Thanksgiving, thankful for our nation and its many blessings, and thankful for our nation's military and veterans. Freedom isn't free. May God bless America. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
Earlier this year, soldiers with the Army's 101st Airborne Division were the first to receive the new high-tech 9mm pistol, which was engineered to give dismounted infantry a vastly increased ability to fight with enemy in caves, tunnels, crawl spaces, houses, or other close-quarter combat scenarios. The new M17 and M18 pistol is designated as the next-generation handgun to follow the Army's current M9 Beretta. The new pistol is expected to substantially change combat tactics, techniques, and strategies for dismounted soldiers on the move. With the new handgun, you can close with the enemy in close-quarter combat and engage the enemy with one hand. That is something that is very difficult to do today with the M9 Beretta. The new pistol is built with a more ergonomic configuration to better accommodate the widest possible range of hand grips for soldiers. and it enables rapid hand switching, which is, of course, needed in combat. According to the master gunner of the 101st Division, Sergeant First Class Andrew Finn, this weapon, you can change quickly from right hand to left hand. And if you're shooting something that's not comfortable in your hand and can't get a comfortable grip, it's not going to be as accurate. The new handguns are built with an external safety, self-illuminating sights for low-light conditions, an integrated rail for attaching enablers, and, of course, the Army standard suppressor conversion kit to attach an acoustic or flash suppressor. Army soldiers fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan now have over a decade of experience in the fast-evolving tactics used in close-quarter combat, and they have seen a need to be able to maneuver in those caves, tunnels, crawl spaces, attics, or buildings with increased firepower. This new handgun will give soldiers access to that life-impacting firepower, especially in tight-quarter situations where a longer, larger rifle might not be available for use. The Army's M17 acquisition effort unfolded on a massively accelerated time frame. It actually moved from concept to contract within 10 months. Given the consistency of which close-quarter combat is utilized by special forces, the Army has also been closely coordinating with that group regarding the training and development of this new handgun. The M17 and M18 pistols are manufactured by Sig Sauer, who earned the $580 million contract to produce the weapons in January of this year. Other competitors for the weapon included Glock, FN America, and Beretta USA. In fact, Glock has already released their version to the general public, which I gotta say is one of the nicest shooting Glocks I've ever had the pleasure of taking to the range. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Hey, thank you, Roland. You're one great guy. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss threats to our nation and then the impact of a recent election on defense with General Arnold Panaro. Then we'll talk VA mortgages with Marine vet Brad Stinson. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. You are standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for crunchies. Let's do 50, then stand at ease.
Now is the time, and wherever you are is the place. The Citadel makes it easier to earn your degree by offering master's degrees, graduate certificates, and undergraduate degree completion programs that are entirely online. These programs are convenient for working professionals and those serving in the U.S. military, continuing the Citadel's legacy of academic excellence. Classes are held to the same high standards that consistently name the Citadel the number one master's granting public college in the South. The Citadel, online, on your time. Visit citadel.edu/online.
LuLaRoe is comfortable, affordable fashion for women, men, and kids. Sold by tens of thousands of small business owners across the U.S., including many military families. Founded by entrepreneurs seeking a career that allows more freedom to be at home with their families, LuLaRoe is sold at in-home pop-up parties and on social media VIP pages. Check out a sampling of the unique prints and patterns in dresses, tops, leggings, and skirts at LuLaRoe.com and follow on Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest.
USA Radio News.
More than 5,600 migrants from Central America are camped out at the U.S.-Mexico border in Tijuana. Tijuana police and federal officers are stepping up their enforcement, and some migrants are also looking into seeking asylum in Mexico. Ohio Republican Congressman Jim Jordan says we need to build that wall.
That was the biggest promise Republicans made the voters in 2016. So we had better fight for that. We had better put it on the December 7th funding bill. Again, the single biggest issue that the American people elected Republicans to accomplish in 2016.
A strong weather system is prompting winter storm warnings, advisories, and coastal flooding alerts through the Northeast. Some areas could see over a foot of snow, and over 1,000 flights have already been canceled due to the storm. House Democrats will select their nominee to be the next Speaker of the House on Wednesday. Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi has no competition and is expected to easily get the nomination from Democrats. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Indeed knows finding the right hire takes time away from your business.
Hiring a qualified data engineer felt like a second job.
More job seekers use Indeed than any other site, so there's no better place to find someone with the skills you're looking for.
I needed someone with a master's in computer science and database experience.
Plus, Indeed screener questions help you find your shortlist fast.
Now I'm back to having just one job.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Source.com score total visits.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Troops, welcome back to the nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's a pleasure to welcome back to the show a good friend and regular contributor, retired Marine General Arnold Pinero. I've asked Arnold to discuss the major threats to our nation today and then to discuss the impact of our recent elections on national security. So, welcome aboard, General. I'm supposed to say welcome aboard to Marines, aren't I?
There you go. I'll answer to that. So terrific to be back with you.
Arnold, like me, you began your career early on leading a rifle platoon in combat in Vietnam. Give the listeners a quick review of your time in the service, both active and reserve, but then mention your time working with the U.S. Senate, please.
Well, thank you. I graduated from college in 1968, which was the peak year of the draft, and I felt that I wanted to serve my country, so I joined the United States Marines and ended up being a second lieutenant rifle commander in Vietnam. Spent most of our time there in the Quezon Mountains, in the Triple Canopy Jungle, trying to keep North Vietnamese and Chinese from infiltrating into South Vietnam on what was called the Ho Chi Minh Trail. After I did my 4 years active duty, I went to graduate school, and from there I went to work in the United States Senate, and where I've worked for 24 years, including 15 years as the staff director of the Senate Armed Services Committee, which basically has responsibility to provide for the national defense, and then worked in industry, and now I run my own consulting business, but I do a lot of pro bono work for the Pentagon on policy matters and making sure we're getting the most bang for the buck out of the defense dollars that we spend and making sure our troops and our families have the support they need, particularly those veterans and even the Vietnam veterans who are exposed to Agent Orange that are now suffering some really, really horrible diseases from that exposure some 50 years ago.
Indeed. Just as a quick aside, our Pentagon just had the first ever audit. That's cool, isn't it?
I'll tell you, a lot of credit goes to David Norquist, who's the Undersecretary of Defense Comptroller, who came in, and to Secretary Mattis and the Deputy Pat Shanahan for driving this audit. Lots of Secretaries of Defense have said they were going to do an audit. This is the first crowd that's actually done it. Obviously, they didn't pass, but they never expected to pass. But give them a couple more years, and I think you're going to find that we will have a good audit of the world's largest and most complex business, which is the Department of Defense.
Yes, sir. I could not agree more with you like that. Okay, let's get to the topic. I see the world as a pretty dangerous place just now. That's not a lot of difference. But certainly China is certainly the most powerful country in the world next to us. Russia, Iran are threats. What's your top three or four?
Well, Denny, I would say you've identified the correct threats out there, and I would say to underscore the concern about the world being a more dangerous and unpredictable place than it was even in the peak of the Cold War, when we were dealing with the Soviet Union and the Warsaw Pact arrayed against NATO. The commission that Congress set up to look at the new national security strategy, an independent commission, just issued their report within the last couple of days. And they expressed serious concerns and reservations that our Department of Defense actually has the capacity to deal with great power competition from China, particularly, and even on a secondary base from Russia. That number two, even with the increases that the president has asked for and the Congress has generally supported, we're not putting sufficient resources into the department, particularly to deal with China. That China has basically stolen a march on us, certainly when it comes to the use of hypersonic weapons, which are high-speed missiles that we currently can't defeat or can't even detect, that put a lot of our conventional assets, including our carrier battle groups, at risk in the Pacific. China has beefed up on cyber. They beefed up on a lot of the areas that don't go against our strength. The Chinese are never going to take on a United States Army armored brigade or armored division or heavy mech division. They're not going to want to go up against the ferocious Marine Corps rifle squad. But they are going to go after us with cyber. They're going to go after our assets in space, which we depend on for everything we do in our country, both commercially and militarily. So I would say China is the number one threat. Their economy is booming. They've caught up with us in certain areas. They are basically spending their money. They're building a high-speed autobahn from China through Pakistan to a warm water port on the Indian Ocean. I mean, everywhere we turn around, the Chinese are there gobbling up our allies and our assets. So I would say China is the number one threat.
Yes, sir. They've been doing exactly what you said. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing major threats to our nation with retired General Arnold Panaro. Russia is still a threat, but they are nowhere near what they were 10 or 20 years ago, are they?
Militarily, economically, they are really, in a way, I hate to say this, a paper tiger. Now, they still have a powerful military, and certainly they've got sufficient nuclear weapons to put our country at risk. But they don't have the economic power of China. They don't have the political power of China. What they have is a former KGB operative as the head of their country who's a bully and who basically threatens his neighbors, and we need to take him more seriously than we're taking him. Putin is a master manipulator. He's manipulated our elections. He manipulates our allies, and he's the only thing a guy like Putin understands is force upon force. So we need to be a lot more forceful with Putin and the Russians.
And he's really, well, I don't know where things are going right now, but he was building quite a relationship with Germany, theoretically.
Well, Germany, that's correct, Denny, and Germany relies on Russia for a lot of their energy sources because it's close by and it's cheaper than getting it from the United States. One of the things a lot of people don't know, and this is great credit to the previous leaders of our country and the previous leaders of and the current leaders in our oil industry, we are now the world's largest producer of oil. The United States has eclipsed Saudi Arabia. It's eclipsed Russia. So we produce more oil than any other country. We, frankly, are now energy independent, which is a place we've always wanted to be from a military standpoint. So, frankly, I think we ought to take more advantage of that. We're not really taking advantage of it, and we're still acting like we're dependent on the Middle East and on other sources of oil, which we aren't.
We aren't, but Russia certainly, at least Germany, was at least seriously considering basically putting their energy dependence on Russia. Perhaps some of the conversations they've had with NATO and maybe with our president have got them rethinking things.
Well, I would hope so, but I will tell you, they look at it a little differently than we do because they're their kind of next-door neighbors, and there's not a lot of buffer states between them and Russia. And, of course, you go back to the licking that Germany took from Russia in World War II when under Operation Barbarossa, when Hitler tried to invade Russia and Russia just kicked their you-know-what back into Germany, and thank goodness they did because we were allied with Russia at that point. But the European nations play footsie with the Russians too much, but they're a lot closer geographically to Russia than we are. And, of course, again, Russian energy is much cheaper because they get it right across their borders rather than having it shipped in or boxed in from other parts of the world.
But Putin certainly wouldn't be afraid to use it as a cutting off their supply of energy as a way of getting them
to yield to his foreign policy desires.
He's certainly done that. He threatens them all the time with shutting down the natural gas and shutting down the oil flows, and they play ball with him. I think it's a bad situation.
It is. Then as you go to the Mideast, it gets fun there too, doesn't it?
Yes, and I have to say, someone that has always considered Saudi Arabia a key ally, I support the conclusions of our intelligence sources and agencies that basically have included that the Crown Prince has his fingerprints on this tragic killing of the American resident journalist. And I think our country should take a much stronger posture vis-a-vis Saudi Arabia, because if you don't, it's just like if you don't show Putin, you're going to deal with force on force. They could basically take this as a license to cause other problems in the Middle East. For example, they could start doing something with Iran, assuming that we're going to come to their rescue. And so there's a lot of concern being expressed about the fact that we are not taking serious enough action against the leaders of Saudi Arabia based on this recent tragic event.
Yeah, well, that's a tragic event we know about. Saudi Arabia's always been an absolute dictatorship, and they kill anybody they want to. It just didn't see one this publicly. But
that's correct. You make an excellent point there. I mean, it may be that, you know, we have been looking the other way for a long time, and maybe it's time to stop looking the other way.
Well, it's true. Well, folks, we have just discussed the threats. Now it's time to talk about the impact on our national defense of the recent election. We'll do that in a minute. Arnold's going to be staying with us. Troops, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do every day, and I'm an old guy, so I know you can do it. And take a break, but stay in the area. We'll be right back. Imagine being a U.S. combat soldier or Marine facing the enemy, doing your job, fighting the enemy, and then being falsely accused of committing a war crime by our government. This sounds crazy, but during the last 10 years, this has happened too many times. United American Patriots support these wrongfully jailed American heroes by providing civilian attorneys at no cost to the accused or his family. Check unitedpatriots.org.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Dynavite for life.
Pick up two tubes of Dogosuds.
Get the third tube free.
Peppermint, tea tree, lavender, Dogosuds shampoo.
Made with all-natural coconut, jojoba, aloe. Great for healthy skin and soft, shiny coats.
But no itchy, harsh chemicals.
Lather up, rinse away.
Try Dogosuds. Buy two, get one free.
At Dynavite.com.
Dinovite.com.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent. If you are a spouse or a USAA member, you can get a reward of between $350 and $6,000 when you buy or sell your next home. This also applies to the children and grandchildren of current USAA members. Call Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker to learn more. He can be reached at 908-238-0118. That's 908-238-0118.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Front Lines of Freedom. We're continuing our discussion with retired Marine General Arnold Pinero about threats to our nation and the impact on our national defense of the recent election. And we're about to do the recent election discussion. Okay, Arnold, the election. It's normal for a sitting president to lose at least one house of Congress after the first term elections and to lose a number of senators and representatives. I think Trump did better than most previous presidents, but we did have that downturn. So what, if any, in your opinion, from your observation, will be the impact of this change of the Democrats now holding the House on national defense?
So, Denny, I think it's important to take a look at history here, because divided government, which we will now have starting in January 2019, it's the norm, not the exception. In the last 54 years, 34 of those years had at least one of the three bodies, the president, the House, or Senate, led by the opposite party. So for the most of our recent history, we've had divided government. And regardless of unified or divided government, the president has still signed both a defense authorization bill and an appropriation bill that funded defense and intelligence activities into law each and every year. So even in divided government, the three bodies have been able to come together and produce the kind of legislation and funding that's required for us to maintain our national security. And the truth be known, the defense committees, one of which the Senate Armed Services Committee I was privileged to serve on for 24 years, they still operate in pretty much a bipartisan fashion. They're kind of an oasis of bipartisanship in the Congress, whereas most other committees and the body politic has become very partisan. Having said that, there are always differences. So the House, now that it's controlled by the Democrats, and I was the staff director of the Armed Services Committee for 10 years with a Republican president and a Democratic House, they tend to have a lower overall spending level. They tend to be more critical of nuclear weapons. They tend to basically beef up the pay and benefits for the troops and the families. They certainly are much more skeptical of overseas operations and things of that nature. But even with all of that, and even with some difficult provisions that had to get worked out, because as you know, for something to be signed into law, both the House and Senate have to pass it in identical fashion and send it to the president. And so even though there's a lot of hand-wringing and people concerned about investigations and this, that, and the other thing, when it comes to national defense, I think we're going to have the same kind of historic approach that we will end up getting both a defense authorization bill and a defense funding bill. It will be difficult. There'll be a lot of angst between the Pentagon and the House of Representatives on certain positions, but the Senate's still controlled by the Republicans, and they got to work together to get a bipartisan bill that the president will sign.
Well, that's certainly true. My only concern is if the House will actually, I hope this won't happen, but if they stay focused on trying to impeach the president and maybe Justice Kavanaugh, they might not get around to that. Do you sense that kind of off balance?
I would certainly hope that, first of all, when it comes to a judicial nomination, I was there. The only grounds for impeaching somebody in the judicial branch would be misbehavior. They've done that on rare, rare occasions. The issue with Judge Kavanaugh, in my judgment, from what I've read and seen, doesn't rise to that level. So I would hope they wouldn't be thinking about that. And unless the president is charged with or convicted of something illegal or criminal nature, which certainly isn't the case today, you would hope they wouldn't basically, for political reasons, start impeachment proceedings. There are a lot of things that aren't going well in our government that need to be fixed. Healthcare needs to be fixed. We need to spend money on our infrastructure and improve our roads, our bridges, our airports. If you look at the Chinese airports they're building all over the world for other people, and in China, they put a lot of our airports to shame. We know we have bridges that aren't basically able to carry the traffic. And so we need to do a lot here at home on infrastructure, and we need to fix the healthcare legislation. And so I would hope the House of Representatives would listen to the voters, because they claim they ran on some of these issues. They got elected on these issues, and now I would hope they would pay attention to the voters and not pay attention to the politics of the Democratic Party.
Well, that's certainly a hope that I think we all have. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. We're discussing the impact on national security of the recent election with General Arnold Pinero. Arnold, one of the things you and I both agree on is that our country's broke. Our national debt is crazy high, yet we have to spend more money on national defense, on fixing the healthcare programs. How do we do this? Any ideas?
Well, Denny, I think that everybody should recognize that even though defense spending is at a high level, and even though domestic discretionary spending is also high, discretionary spending, that is the amount of money that Congress can actually make a decision on each and every year, is about $1 trillion a year. Yet our budget is $4 trillion a year. So $3 trillion, that's $3 trillion of spending is on automatic pilot. That's Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, various retirements, various other provisions. And so particularly health care is where the real drive in spending has been on automatic pilot. It hasn't been because we've increased the defense budget. It hasn't been because we've increased the domestic budgets for the Center for Disease Control or the National Institutes of Health. That spending has been relatively flat. So it's really the entitlements. And of course, you know, there was $1 trillion deficit caused by the passage of the tax bill. So what you have to do is, if Obama had supported the Simpson-Bowles Commission that looked at balancing our budget, and you looked at entitlements, you looked at spending, and you looked at revenues, those are the three things you have to look at together. You have to look at it over a 30 to 40 year period. You're not going to change this overnight. You have to put it on a glide path where over a multi-year period, you basically reduce spending, both entitlement spending and discretionary spending. You ensure we have an adequate revenue base. And you do that over time, and you don't do it retroactively. No one is going to change people's Social Security retroactively. When Social Security was put into effect, people died at age 60. Now they live till age 84. So, you know, we haven't taken into account the changes in lifestyle and the changes in life expectancy with all these entitlement programs. So they need to be adjusted. That's where the real money is. Again, $3 trillion of the $4 trillion federal budget are entitlements.
Well, one of the things for sure, if we don't get that under control, everything else is going to be moot, because we're going to be paying the Chinese interest. I think you said close to what our defense budget is.
So in fiscal 23, just 2 years from now, current interest rates, now if they go up 0.5% or 1% more, it'll even be higher. We will spend more on interest on the debt than we will spend on national defense, meaning we will pay the people that own our debt, primarily the Chinese, more money than we spend on protecting our country. And interest is just wasted money, as you know. When people pay interest on their mortgage, people pay interest on their cars, and you're paying money for the privilege of using somebody else's money. Well, we are paying the Chinese hundreds of billions of dollars a year for the privilege of using their money.
And therefore, we're probably building their defense.
No question about it. The other thing we have to take into account, and no one wants to go back to the draft, certainly not those of us that lived through it, but the all-volunteer force is quite expensive. Neither the Russians nor the Chinese have volunteers. They're all draftees. So their personnel costs are 80% cheaper than ours. And so personnel costs are going up at the cyclic rate, because not only of the cost when they're on active duty, but we now pay people for 60 years to serve for 20 years. So we have the same inverted pyramid. For example, take the DOD health care bill, which is $52 billion a year, and 9 million beneficiaries. 6 million of the 9 million are retirees and their dependents. They're not people currently serving on active duty, and yet we're spending $50 billion a year in the DOD budget that could go to weapons and ammunition.
And there we are. The system has got to be fixed, and when you fix a system like that, you've got to stop giving things to people that are getting them now, and that's always almost impossible in politic land. Arnold,
well, Denny, you look forward. You make it prospective, not retroactive.
Amen for that. Arnold, thank you for sharing your ideas today. I really appreciate it. Looks like America can go forward if we Americans will just tell our congressmen and senators we want them to cooperate and make things work. I think we both agree on that.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation. I'm proud to call you a friend.
Amen. Thank you.
Here's our Stand Tall Troop report. This is when we find an outstanding performance of duty and we all get to honor this fine troop. The remains of a Utah mayor killed while serving in Afghanistan were returned to the state earlier this month. Ogden Mayor Brent Taylor's body was transported from Dover Air Force Base in Delaware to a National Guard base in Salt Lake City. A public viewing was held at the D Event Center on the campus of Weber State University in Ogden, where his funeral was also held. Taylor was fatally shot November 3rd by an Afghan commando he was training. The father of seven had implored Americans in his widely shared final Facebook post to vote. So stand tall in heaven, Mayor Brent Taylor. Front Lines of Freedom and all of our nation's patriots salute you. This concludes the first hour of the show.
We'll start the second hour discussing VA mortgages with Marine vet Brad Stinson. Then we'll review the movie of the month, 2x2, with Diane Raver. Naturally, we'll discuss last weekend's Service Academy football games. And, of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Troops, it's getting colder outside, so go outside and run a couple of miles of wind sprints, then grab some protein and rehydrate with water, and finally put a big smile on that proud-to-be-an-American face of yours and send me your thoughts by email on Facebook.
Six days after landing in one of the world's most dangerous places, U.S. Marine Corporal Jake Schick's life changed forever.
Yeah, I was severely wounded in Iraq, conducting combat operations in the Sunni Triangle in 2004.
His Humvee hit a landmine. Within 2 days, he was back in the United States for the first of nearly 50 surgeries.
Once I got back here, my real battle started.
Jake lost a leg and sustained traumatic brain injury. He spent 18 months in hospitals with family right beside him.
You need your family. You need your support system. You know, you need people like the Fisher House.
Fisher House. It's a home away from home for families of wounded warriors and veterans receiving treatment at no cost to families.
Just very thankful to the Fisher House for what they did for my family that entire time and for the things they continue to do.
You can help by making Fisher House your charity of choice on your CFC pledge form.
Fisher House, they were always there, so that was cool.
The CFC, Fisher House, and you. Find out how you can make a difference at fisherhouse.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
A large number of the nearly 6,000 Central American migrants camped out at the U.S.-Mexico border in Tijuana are unsure what to do next. U.S. Border Patrol officers used tear gas to drive back hundreds who tried to rush the border fence. Republican Congressman Lee Zeldin joins Fox News and talks about the tear gas that was used.
The use of tear gas is not a new practice. The Obama administration used it a lot. And to President Trump's point, he's absolutely correct that you as a parent should be more responsible in not bringing your child into that setting where tear gas has been used in the past and was possibly going to be used again.
On this Giving Tuesday, First Lady Melania Trump and Second Lady Karen Pence are visiting Red Cross headquarters to assemble comfort kits for military families.
These comfort kits are one small way that we can say thank you.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
This is a national health alert from the Healthcare Hotline. Are you on Medicare and or have private insurance and suffer from back pain? MD Topical has a solution for you. Today, you can qualify to receive a pain-relieving treatment, such as a comfortable back brace or a customized pain treatment at little or no cost. Call MD Topical toll-free now, 888-998-7225. It just takes a couple of minutes to qualify for these amazing treatments that have helped thousands of people with severe pain. Your personalized pain treatment will be delivered directly to your door. Call MD Topical toll-free, 888-998-7225, 888-998-7225, or go to mdtopical.com and get started on your road to a pain-free life. Call MD Topical toll-free, 888-998-7225, or go to mdtopical.com.
NATO released a statement that says three American service members were killed in a roadside bomb attack in Afghanistan on Tuesday. You can soon enjoy a Caesar salad again. as a romaine lettuce warning is lifted. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the details.
You'll remember just before Thanksgiving, the FDA was urging restaurants, grocers, and consumers to throw out all their romaine lettuce because of an E. coli outbreak, but they hadn't determined the source. The outbreak did sicken more than 40 people in 12 states. Well, the FDA now says the most likely source of the contamination was from lettuce grown in California's Central Coast region. It says the romaine growing season there is now over, so it's shifting south to California's Imperial Valley, Arizona, and Florida. The FDA says romaine producers and distributors are now going to include product labeling and dating to assure consumers that the lettuce they're buying is not associated with that outbreak. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
Tyler Reddick captured the 2018 NASCAR Xfinity Series Championship in just his first year of competing full-time in the series. I had a chance to sit down and chat with Reddick and ask him what clicked the last five